The next 2 weeks, I'm going to cover four core skills. We always talk about there are four core skills to know in doing Manatech, in doing any network marketing business. And those four core skills we're all familiar with. One is building your contact list. Number two, contact and invite. Number three, STPs, or show the plan, or show the presentation. And then number four is follow up and close. And so we're going to cover those. I split them into 2 weeks because there's too much material to cover them all in 1 hour, even though we do some of that when we do our meetings on our Saturday mornings at our monthly trainings. But there's just so much great information about each one of these categories. I thought trying to cover two at a time on a Monday call would be the best. So today we're going to cover the first two, which is building the contact list and contact and invite. But before we jump in and cover them, I just want to make it really clear to everybody on the call, and something you need to make clear to everybody in your organization, that this is a professional business. And some people don't necessarily look at it that way. They'll look at direct sales or networking and go, oh, I know how to do that. I jumped in, and because of my background as a lawyer and professional, I just kind of looked at what it was, and I just jumped in and started sharing with people. And I'm going to tell you, I failed miserably my first 6 months, and exactly for that reason. I didn't look at it as a skill development field. Of course, practicing law, you go to law school for 3 years. I actually went one extra year to get a master's in tax. And I treated myself as a professional when I was a lawyer. But why didn't I treat myself as a professional when I got into network marketing? And that's a question you have to ask yourself. Why is it that you're not treating yourself as a professional? Because if you want to be great at this business and you want to achieve the life of your dreams, then it's going to take you to look at yourself as a professional as well and to deal with this industry as a business that needs professionalism. And it needs to come from you. You start with it, and then you drive it in your organization. And in order to be a professional network marketer, you need to develop the skills required to be a professional network marketer. So these are crucial skills. They're the core skills. We call them the four core for a reason, because everybody else in the whole industry refers to them as the four core skills. So it's not something new. It's not something that came, of the essence when I started doing network marketing. This is something that's been true for, 50, 100 years. And you go back to some of the stalwarts in network marketing, the people that paved the way for us, like the Amways of the world, and they even looked at these as the four core. So it's, you don't have to recreate everything that you get involved in. You just look at what works, what are the most basic principles of being successful in this business, and getting these four skills down are clearly part of that approach to being a professional network marketer. So let's talk about the core skill number one, which is building your contact list. And it's really the first step in bringing along a new associate. And I actually use this step before I even sign up an associate. And some of you might try doing this because it helps people get started. It helps them get to make their decision about starting with you. Because when I talk to people about this being a terrific business, and you get to be in business for yourself but not by yourself, and the neat thing is you get to choose who you do business with. So I ask people when I'm talking about the business opportunity, I sometimes say, just take out a piece of paper and write down, give me six names off the top of your head of people that you really respect and honor and you'd love to have as a business partner in your new business. And that's before they even get started, before they even said yes, because that helps them start visualizing what their business could look like. And it's a great tool to help close somebody in advance as well. So that's why I put in the outline, I have people start writing names down on a sheet of paper before they even have committed to being in Manatech. And you don't need to go, all of us have a checklist. I have a getting started checklist. Everybody should have one. If you don't have one, touch base with your upline. Everybody builds them a little differently. I know Wendy Kramer's got a great website where she's got getting started materials on it. So go look at some of these things and review that list. But the list will contain things like putting your why down, learning the comp plan, getting training on the website, all sorts of things that are necessary for you to really, understanding Success Tracker, those kind of things. All of that is part of the getting started checklist, setting your goals, building a business plan. But I always tell people, that's your checklist, work on those things, but build the list first. Build your list first. And why do I do that? because I can start working with helping that person build their business even though they don't have all the other things done on their checklist. And why do I want to do that? Because I know one thing for a fact. If you help people have a great first month, they build a great first month story, that's going to not only catapult them to success, it's going to cause them to be 100% all in, but it's going to help them when they go out and they start talking to other people. I have a new gal who started. She saw a tremendous difference in her health. She kicked off and went crazy, and she became a regional director within the last 2 weeks of her first business period. She became a national director after her next business period. Is she on fire? I mean, this is an incredible process for somebody to go through that quickly. But she's on fire. But her story is, she talks to people about, she goes, in my first month, I made $1,700 in my first month of doing the business. Do you think that's a good first 30-day story? Absolutely. So that's what you want to build with people, is a great 30-day story. If you help them have great results in their first 30 days, they can then use their 30-day story to what? Entice hundreds of other people to join them, and all of whom then step into having their great first 30-day story. So that's why building the list is so crucial to kick off with, because notwithstanding all the other things that you want them to do on their checklist, that opens the floodgates for you to start working with them and getting people signed up and registered. And when you build the 30-day work, list, your contact list, you want to work with them in that first, you know, first time you sit down with them, you want to sit with them, work with them on building that list. And you also want to get a copy of it from them, because, you know, sometimes there are people that get started with you and then they just decide, well, this isn't for me after a couple of weeks or something. And we never know what that is. It's always that, you know, everybody has different triggering points. Some people get excited about things, but they just feel like, oh, this is out of my comfort zone. I don't want to share with people. Of course, I have other questions to ask them after they say that. But the idea is that, you know, there are going to be people that don't stick it out. So do you want to lose that 100 or 200 or 500 names they put on a list? No. So when that happens, I always ask the person, hey, you know, I have a copy of your list. Is it okay for me to contact these people on your behalf? And if they decide that they want to get involved, even though you're not being active, I'll build them underneath you. Now, I'll always take the enroller bonus because I'm doing all the work, but I'll put them in their leg, in that tap root. They'll go right under the person. And most people will agree to allow you to do that, even if they no longer are active in Manatech. So that's why you want a copy of their list as well. And you always want to build it over 100 before you get started. Why is that? Because if you get somebody that gives you 10 names and the first three people you call say no, they're going to get discouraged. You don't want discouragement in their life. There's enough of that that's going to go on because they're not mature enough in this industry to understand that they want to be able to really take a no and a yes almost with the exact same emotional framework. But in the early stages, they just look at each person as, oh, Mary Jo, we got to get this person in, or we have to get this. Come on, Mary Jo, let's sign this person up. You know, I had somebody do that to me last night on a three-way call. Just before we locked in the three-way call, this millennial said to me, Mary Jo, let's go get him. Let's get him in. Well, didn't need to give me any more incentive to get somebody started. And we had a phenomenal three-way call, and the guy's coming in as an all-star, and he's texting the guy all the time about, we're doing this together. This is going to be awesome. And, I mean, it's really cool. But it wasn't he didn't need to give me an incentive to help, you know, get this guy signed up in a three-way call. But the idea is we want that emotional level to be stationary. We want people to get at the point that some will, some won't, so what next? There's always a next, right? But you want to make sure that they have 100, because if they get discouraged in the early stages because they haven't developed that skill yet, you don't want them to be discouraged because they only have three people left on their list. If the first three people I work with, like a person say no, I still have 97 left if they've built the list to 100. Is everybody clear? So that's why you want a big list. You want to be working off a big list. You use the memory jogger. If you don't have a memory jogger, you go get one. Manatech has that, I believe, on their website. We have one on our Getting Started website. But you want to use a memory jogger because people don't think about all the different categories of where they know people. Most people only think of their immediate sphere of influence. They don't think about the grandiose scale of things. They're not going to go to their kids' teachers, or they're, you know, they're going to skip their doctor or dentist, or, I mean, things just fall off. But when you have a memory jogger, you're going to look at all those categories and capture all those names. Today, it's really, especially working with millennials, it's all about Facebook, Twitter accounts, all their social media sites. They have massive names on their social media connections, so they can come up with thousands just on their social media sites. I also love to ask people, you know, when they get stuck, I go, well, do you go to church on Sundays maybe? You know, I says, where's your church directory, right? You can pick up more than 100 names just out of most church directories. So you want to, and the reason you want to do this, you want to really drag your brain and dump everybody out on sheets of paper. You just want to fill up that paper with every name you possibly know, is the fact that when you dump out the names list out of your head onto sheets of paper, you're actually opening up mental space to start building new contacts. So you have this space open up, which I believe really helps you trigger going out and reaching out and getting new contacts. Because if you're storing all these people in your head, what happens is when you go out, you're going to think, well, I never followed up with all these other people, so I have other people I'm just thinking of all the time. So I don't need to interact in a cold market setting. And that's totally wrong, because you want to be building that list every day of your life. You want to be adding names to your list. So open your mind up for new contacts by dumping everyone you know on that original list and keep growing that one. When you put them on your list, you don't exhibit judgment about them, because your judgment is probably inaccurate at this point in time, especially if you're brand new. So you want to put everybody down as equal. When you go through and you start working on the ones you call first, that's going to be a different story, because the idea of when you start contacting people, you're going to want to go after business people, the people you think are most likely to do business with you first. But your judgment, again, understand this, and you tell your people this, your judgment isn't always very accurate on who's going to be interested and who's not going to be interested. So, again, ranking your list, we do that just because we know that building our business, the faster we get those business builders in, the faster our business takes off. If you started your business and you got the first four people you signed up were going to be major business builders, they're going to be building their list, they're going to be taking off, you're going to get the regional, national executive so fast your head will be spinning. But most of us go to our comfort zone. We go to our parents, we go to our family members, we go to people that we know are sick, so we get a lot of consumers involved. Why isn't our business going to grow as fast with just consumers? Because you're the only one building your business. You really have not taken advantage of the concept of leverage, which is what makes the network marketing model so invaluable as a business tool to bring great wealth in people's lives. So you want to be able to find other business builders, tap into their activities, and now all of a sudden you see that, you know, incredibly quick growth happening in your organization, because there are multiple people bringing multiple people on every single day. And that's what you want to see on your success tracker when you go in there and you say, oh, six new associates, and I didn't have anything to do with any of them. That's a wonderful thing to see happen. So that's why we look for business builders. Add to your list every day. We call our list an active candidate list for that reason. Active. It's green and growing. If it's not, then it's ripe and rotting, and your business will take after your candidate list. It will become ripe and rotting. So truthfully, make sure that you're adding new contacts every single day. How do we do this? Well, we network on purpose. We go out and we network on purpose. We join a new club. We start a new hobby. We volunteer for a cause. The world is out there just waiting to hear from you. You have a great opportunity for people. You have great solutions for people. We solve people's problems through Manatech. And you want to get out there and you want to show up that you have answers, right? And when do we take people off of our list? Only two times. They die or they sign up. So is Mary Jo saying, if they say no, I don't take them off my list? Correct. No's don't get taken off your list. You may put them on a drip list. What I typically do if somebody says no to me, I talk about that I put out a newsletter that comes out like once every couple months. Would they like to be, you know, receiving the health newsletter that we put out? Is it okay if I reconnect with you after the first of the year, because we have new things that happen all the time and we just stay in contact? You want to plant something in their head. Whatever way you want to stay in connection with people, that's what you ask them if it's okay. You want to say, because things change, right? things change in people's lives. They may not be interested today, but they may be interested later. So you ask them if it's all right to put them on a, and you don't call it a drip list, because then you sound like a drip. You want to say something that's pleasant to them, whether it's a health newsletter, if you happen to be doing one, or if you say, hey, I'd really like to, you know, I enjoy getting to know you. I'd really like to stay in contact. If it's, is it okay if I keep you on the list and just get in touch from time to time when special things occur? And see what they say. Yeah, to bring you special updates. Sure, because people like to be updated. There could be a reason down the road and they could have a change in their heart. So ask them, and you keep them on a list. You don't move them on your, you might move them off of your active candidate list and put them on your, what I call the drip list, that's what I call it, but you still keep them on the list. You also, you want to go to events, get out in public, talk to everyone who comes into your path. And when you're doing all of this to keep adding members to your list, I have a goal that every day I want to add at least one new person to my list every single day. Every single day, at least add one more. And if you do that every day and you become very convicted about it, it's not if it happens, it's about making it happen. You're at choice around that, so you make it happen or you don't make it happen. When you start doing that, it just keeps you, you just have this faith, greater faith and confidence in your business as well. So you, and you just talk to everybody who comes in your path, and it's not about Manatech. Adding a name to your names list is not about Manatech, is it? Because now they're on your names list, and they just are the people that you're going through your list to decide who you're connecting with on a daily basis. So you might meet somebody today. You may never not even bring up Manatech at all, and just enjoy them and just have a great time. So you could meet somebody and have talked to them at a you know, a sporting event or da-da-da, and you could say, you know what, I really enjoyed meeting you. Could I keep in connection with you? You know, or I do a newsletter. I'd love to send it to you. Could I get your email address? And you just collect their information. And then when the time comes that you come to their name on your list, then you can call them and start supporting them and looking at your business opportunity. But it doesn't have to happen all at the same time. On the other hand, it can happen. When you're, if you want to go out with purpose and get names that are that you want to introduce the business to, things like when you see somebody, you pay them a compliment. When you're at a restaurant, you're done with a waiter comes up and gives you your bill, and you go, you know what, I just want to run something by you. I've so enjoyed your service, your smile. I said, your personality of serving is would just be perfect in the business I'm in today, and I would love you to take a look at it if you're not adverse to making an additional $1,000 or $2,000 on a monthly basis. And you stop. You're done. A simple question like that. And what do you think most servers would do in a restaurant? They'd be all over that. And if they ask you what it's all about, you go, you know what, let me just send you some stuff and see if you have some interest. You might not. No big deal. You might as well take a look, right? You might not. No big deal. Don't make a big deal of it. It's no big deal. They might not. Now there's no pressure. What you've done is taken all the pressure out of the situation. And that will put them at ease to give you their information. And now you have another name to add to your names list. So either way you do it, but make sure you're adding names to that name list. It's an active candidate list. You want to be growing every single day. Harvey Mackey, he wrote the book, How to Swim with the Sharks Without Being Eaten Alive, and he made a comment in that book. He says, take every person you meet, get their contact information, and figure out a way to stay in contact with them the rest of your life. That's a very powerful statement, and you should take that to heart, because everyone on this planet has something to offer you. You may not find it the first time you meet them. It may not be the second, the third, the fourth, or the fifth, but somewhere down the line, they could pour into your life in some significant way. So don't just throw these pieces of paper away. Don't just be dismissive about other people. Everyone has something to offer you. Look at your name list and think about, who do they know? How many of us do that? So we get a names list and we put it on and we go, well, who do they know? Because a lot of times we have people in within our sphere of influence, but who do they know? So you can start writing those names too, because, I know one of their friends because I met him at this thing, and you start writing down their names as well. So it's not just who do you know, but who do some of your friends know that you know that they know? Does that make sense? Because once you get them invited and started in the business, we're going to tap into their list as well, assuming they get started. But if you already have some knowledge about some of your friends and who they hang out with, you can start adding those people to your list as well. And then, who are we really looking for? What kind of people are we looking for? the critical factors in terms of what you're looking for in building your business are the, what I call the three H's. And the first H to me is the most important, and it's called hungry. You're looking for people who are hungry, because people who are hungry are going to take action. If somebody's not hungry, they're going to putz, because there's no urgency to them running this business or doing this business. But if people are hungry, they have a real reason to want to do this business in a significant way, those are the people you want to find. Like the three-way call I just did last night with somebody who is very hungry, a great guy, 32 years old. By the way, he was a boss of one of my brand new millennials in my business. Isn't that great that my millennials are asking their bosses to join him? And sure enough, he's coming in as an all-star. But he was hungry because his job, we talked about his job. And I said, so what's the upside? I mean, how much further can you go? And he knew that he was at a dead end in what he was doing. The only next thing he could do is maybe have the boss sell him the company, but he's never going to do that. And he has a 5-year-old son, and he has dreams about his son, what he wants to, you know, the legacy for his son. So this guy, I mean, the why came out, like, incredible in the conversation. Why did the why come out in the conversation? Because I made it come out. You ask questions, and that's what allows you to find their why. And then you focus on that as you talk about what the business can provide for that person and how it works and how it provides those things. And people, like, they're all in. But this guy was hungry. And I'm going to tell you, people, there are very few people on this earth that are not hungry, because there are very few people that are in that top 5% income earners in the United States of America. And we're not coming across them every day. We're coming across the 95% that are just so desperately looking for something that's going to solve their problems, bring them to a new beginning, reestablish an American dream in their head, because they all want to believe it so badly, but they're stuck. So hungry. What's the other thing? H, honable. Honable being that they're what? Teachable. If somebody's a know-it-all, good grief, good luck. And they might come in being a know-it-all. I came in kind of, not really that I knew everything about network marketing. It's just my, you know, coming from being a professional lawyer who made six figures, who was doing great in her business and had a business mind, network marketing to me was just something less. It was something less. Boy, what a mistake that was in my judgment, wasn't it? Really bad mistake. But you might come across somebody like that, and until they fail and stumble, they're going to, you know, sometimes you have to let them fail and stumble because they're just not going to listen to you. They're not very coachable up front. But as soon as they fail and stumble, guess what happens to them? They become very directed and very coachable, as I did. I started reading all the books, going to the trainings, in, you know, really getting dead set on learning everything I could, becoming a sponge. So you want teachable. And then you also want people who are honorable. Why is that? Because I believe that's the kind of person you want to associate with in your life. And these people become your partners, not just for today or the next 3 months or 6 months or a year. They're partners for life. So when I meet my people and I get them started and I start working with them, that's how I look at them. That's why I'm so intentional about getting them on TOMS and the Books of the Month and all these tools to grow them as people, because they're going to be in my life the rest of my life. They're my partners. And I want them to be honorable. I want them to grow. And that's what you're looking for. So that basically covers building a contact list. Everybody good with that? Great. We can all go out there and do that. If you haven't done it yourself, do it now. Because there's one thing I'll tell you for sure. If you aren't willing to do something, you're never going to be able to teach and take anyone else there. Because you're totally out of integrity with self. So if you haven't already put forth the effort to build your contact list, do it today. Don't procrastinate another moment. Do it, and do it today. So the second major skill in this industry, the second major skill, is contacting and inviting. And many of the professionals out there, the classic multimillionaires who've just been in this industry for a longer, much longer than Mary Jo and many of you on the call, they call this the gateway skill. It's the most important one to develop, since if you don't get a person to look at it, you'll never get them closed, right? Getting a person to just look at your opportunity is what this is about, contact and inviting them. So this is an absolute, absolute crucial skill to develop. And you don't, you know, when you first start out there as a brand new person, you don't have to look at yourself and think you need a great reputation or a great sphere of influence to do this business. If that were true, no one would ever get started. We get started because we have a team of people. Remember, you're in this business for yourself, but not by yourself. Tap into your support team to get you along this line, because these are huge, you know, values that they bring to the table as being your support team, your upline support team, to help you in terms of having the confidence and building that confidence. Because when you first start, how many people can be confident right out of the box? Well, some people, you know, I kind of have that natural level of confidence. I wasn't very good, but I was very confident, right? But some people come out that way. But most people are not, because they recognize they don't have the skills. So contacting and inviting being the most crucial skill, you want to make sure that you go through practice sessions with people, you support them, you work with them and be on phone calls with them in their early stages until they really get it, right, instead of just throwing them to the wolves. So and Eric Worre does a great job. You know, the next comment is, we don't hunt, we farm. And most people, if they don't get trained up front, they're going to become hunters, right? And when you're a hunter, what are you doing? Your goal is to go out there and bag an elephant, right? You're trying to bag people. So you go around with a gun or an opportunity. You call it opportunities. Sometimes it looks like a gun to a lot of people you're approaching, because your whole nature of who you're, what your presence is that you're hunting people. And you go out there and you shoot at everything that moves. And you don't care about relationships. All you do is care about one thing, getting the new recruit. And you take that attitude and you go out there. And what happens is, because you're a hunter, everybody around you feels like they're being hunted, right? So you start annoying people, and people start avoiding you, and it doesn't make your business very much fun. And some people do this, and it takes them a year or 2 years. As Eric Worre said, it took him 3 to 4 years of frustration before he finally came to his defining moment, because his defining moment was, he went out and he started studying successful people. Isn't that a good thing to do? If you want to be successful, what do you want to do? Study people who are successful. Learn from those who achieve great success. Be more like them, because success breeds success. And he found that the people that are really successful out there were like farmers. They weren't hunters. They were farmers. They built relationships. They learned how to build trust with the people they met, and they were able to then do what? Skillfully transfer the belief they had about their products and their opportunity to those people. So they didn't lead with the products and opportunity. They led with building relationships, and that's farming, because we plant the seeds, we water the seeds, we watch them grow, and then we get what? The harvest. So your time of planting and your time of harvest aren't the same time. There takes time for the germination to occur, and that's what the successful people were doing. So a new strategy approach, right? And we're out there farming. We're out there meeting people. We're, instead of behaving like sharks, we want to more like act like coaches and consultants with people. You want to put yourself in their shoes and do what you would appreciate being done to you. When we think about it that way, we really can go through an immediate conversion in our lives on how we approach people and how we contact them. So when your contact is ready, invite them to do one of two things. So when you're talking to people, what are you doing? You're going to invite them to either attend some kind of event. So it's, you either ask somebody to, you know, you build a relationship. When they're ready, you go, great, well, let's do a one-on-one. Let's do, I would like you to meet somebody that's really important to me in my business. Or you do a two-on-one. Or you offer up a three-way call, which, as you know from Mary Jo over the past 6-9 months, that's my number one tool I use in this business. And it's probably selfishly because I love three ways so much. I love meeting new people. But I also want my brand new people to be highly successful right out of the box. What's important to me is they see immediate success. And I know that I know because of my experience that I have a lot more to offer in a three-way call than they do because they're brand spanking new. So what's important is they get all the value of my 19 years of experience in those phone calls, on each and every phone call. And there's nothing I love more than having a brand new person on a call. One gal, I'll share something with you that really is so great. One of my gals in my organization had scheduled a three-way call with me last week. And I had no idea, probably because I didn't read the background necessarily, because I have people send me the background and sometimes I just peruse it really fast. But this gal was on the phone with me and we spent almost an hour on this three-way call because it was like we were cousins from the past. We just had such a love fest, an honor fest between the two of us. It was such an absolute bloody delight. And the gal, of course, signed up right there on the spot. And what was so funny is my downline called me afterwards, and she goes, Mary Jo, I never expected this. I said, well, why didn't you expect it? She goes, well, I sent you an email. This gal I was talking to, and she just had no intention. She just said, well, Charisma, I don't have any. I said, but if this is a way to train you, to get you trained, then I'll be more than happy to do this for you. So this gal did the three-way just to help my new associate get trained on understanding how to respond to objections and how to work with people. It was a trick. I had no idea that's what she was doing. And we ended up signing up the gal. So three ways are terrific. They're just terrific ways to get started. You can invite people to small group presentations, online webinars, conventions, meetings, whatever it is. Invite them to some kind of event. But building trust is critical to building any relationship, right? And Eric Worre takes the position that the events are the best places to bring somebody because of the social proof that occurs. They get to look around and see all the rest of the people that are totally entrenched in this business opportunity. So it gives tremendous social validation and proof that this is something they want to be a part of. The other thing we do is invite them to look at some tools, right? That's the next thing. Build a relationship, invite them to look at tools. And that's usually my first step before, and my second step would be then the three-way call. So but you invite them. We have tremendous technology today around tools. There are just terrific tools out there to share with people. You ought to build yourself your own email attachment folder where you know exactly what you love to share the most of, and you have them right there at your fingertips, so it takes you less than 5 minutes to put out an email to somebody to get them information. But when I choose to send people tools, I always do what? Contact and invite, right? This is one thing, remember. It's the ham-bam. Have a meeting, book a meeting. Have a call, book a call. You never allow anything to be up in the air. So when I get somebody committed to looking at materials, or my new people do, they know that in that same conversation where the commitment is made, the next step is, so when do you think you'll get a chance to review the materials I send? And as soon as they buckle down on a time, you go, great. So if I'm going to follow up with you with one of my team members because I want to make sure all your questions get answered, what works best for you? Tuesday afternoon sometime? And they'll go, yeah, Tuesday. And say, great, let me touch back with my team member and see when she's available, and I'll call you back with an exact time. And that's how you do it. So it's always have a meeting, book a meeting, right? That's all part of our contact and inviting. You let them look at materials, then follow up with a three-way, on and on, right? Okay, so that's the way to do this. It's really critical that you do these invitations to people. Invite them to look at things. Invite them to meetings. Always have a meeting, book a meeting, have a call, book a call. Keep it in a progression. When they don't get started, when they don't see on the invite, and you invite them and they don't see it maybe on the first touch, what do? We set up a next touch. Whether it's, well, hey, listen, one of my team members is in town for the next 3 days. Let's go out to Starbucks and just have lunch together and just, if you have some extra questions, think about what you're still, need some more help on, and she'll help you answer those or whatever. Or you ask them, say, so what's holding you back? Find out what it is. Well, I don't know enough about the compensation plan. Great, let me send you some information. If I get that out to you today, when will you have a chance to look at it? Or would you rather meet up and we can review it together over at Starbucks, right? It's always have a meeting, book a meeting, have a call, book a call. Keep that flow always going on in everything that you do. And, of course, I put in the outline something that's really important for all of us to understand, that our ability to get a large group of people to consistently do a few simple things over an extended period of time is truly our formula for success in this business. So if you're not teaching people, build a contact list, contact invite, show the plan, follow up and close, you're missing the core principle behind success in this business. You want to make sure it's trained and taught with everyone in building that contact list, contacting, inviting. Those simple, they're simple actions. They need to be trained, develop the skills and what that looks like so people don't get sloppy with it or careless with it, because each person really can benefit from what Manatech has to offer. There's not a, and I don't know if you believe that, but I sure do in my heart of hearts. There's not a person on the face of the earth that couldn't benefit from what we're doing. I did a hospital visit yesterday. I look at people ending up there, and I'm like, wow, she never would have been here if she would have been following some of the advice that we'd been giving her over the years, right? I mean, it's just we have so much to offer people. Now she's following the advice, by the way. She's starting on Manatech products. She's da-da-da-da. I'm giving her solutions so she can get off. She goes, Mary Jo, I want to be off all these crazy drugs. And I go, I agree 1,000%. So let's make sure that happens, right? So, I mean, but I don't want everybody to have to go through a hospital visit because why? Because it could be their last hospital visit. So we need to be a little bit more assertive about getting the word out and helping people, because there's too great a cost, too great a price that they could pay. So next, four basic rules. And this comes out of Eric Worre's book, Go Pro. So if you don't have it, get it, because he's got great concepts in there about these skills. He talks about four basic rules around the emotions of inviting. One, you must emotionally detach yourself from the outcome. Focus on educating people and bringing a new understanding in their life. And you know what? You'll have a blast. Just be the teacher. And, of course, we don't want to be the ones that are teaching everything. We're building relationships, but we are introducing new materials to people. Let the material do the talking. You help with that understanding. If they're confused, if they have questions, what did you like most? One of my favorite lines always, what did you like most about what you saw, right? That's the first question I ask when I get on that three-way, besides finding out about them. I say, so, you know, John sent you some material. After I find out all about their life, their family life, everything, I said, so John sent you some information. What did you like most about what you saw? You know, and whatever they need to hear, that's what I teach them. If I need to bring them through the cash flow quadrants, which, by the way, is one of the most effective tools with millennials, you know, they want to be wealthy, but no one taught them Robert Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants. No one taught them the four quadrants. They haven't learned that. With a man yesterday that I did the call with, a 32-year-old, he'd read one of Kiyosaki's books. I said, great. You know, he read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. And I go, awesome. So you and I both had poor dads. Is that what I'm reading? And he goes, you know it, Mary Jo. I mean, so we got to interchange about that. It was a great linkage, right? But then I got to talk about Kiyosaki's cash flow quadrants, and he was blown away. He saw he never wants to ever be on the left side of the quadrants again. So great stuff. But again, you know, education, understanding, that's what we're bringing, right? So emotionally detach, whether he decides to join or not, emotionally detach. Because if you're attached to it, you're going to become desperate about it. And you're going to be so pushy, and that doesn't work. Because people who do things against their will are of the same opinion still. Remember that. Number two, be yourself. Just focus on being your best self. So don't try to be somebody else. Just try to be yourself and be the best that you can be in that realm. Number three, bring some passion. Enthusiasm is contagious. So when you're on the phone with people, if you smile, that comes across. When you smile on the phone, guess what? That person can get that. You're happy. You're joyful. You're smiling. Do people like to be around other people who are joyful? Absolutely. Do people like to be around people who are miserable? Only if they're miserable, because then they can have a pity party. But I'm going to suggest those are not the people you want to add to your organization. They're not going to grow your business. Pity parties don't work. They're not very attractive to people who want to take responsibility for their lives. So bring passion, bring enthusiasm, smile, impact people that way. And there's this concept of excessive enthusiasm, and I want to highlight that because that was brought to my attention. So a lot of people go, Mary Jo, you? Yeah, because I had the tendency, and I still do, I'm very passionate about what I do. I'm very passionate about many things I do in my life, and I love living my life maximizing my passion. That's really because it makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I'm fulfilling what my calling is on my life. So, but sometimes I had to quash my enthusiasm because I get so crazy enthusiastic. That can fry the person on the other side. And that's one of the reasons why you want to understand personality quadrants. Get that education. That's a great training. That's a super training and skill set to have in this business so that you can match the other person's energy. And the reason to do that is you want to make them feel most comfortable. People will make decisions to move forward in their life when they're at the level of comfort. If you make them uncomfortable, they're not going to tend to move forward. So our idea in a call is to end up in their personality quadrant. Play in their field, not in your field. But again, always have some level of enthusiasm. And number four is something I lectured on, I've taught and trained so many times, and I totally am all in on having a strong posture. Be confident, bold, and strong. It doesn't matter where you've been. Some of you have excuses why you're not confident. Let go of the silly excuses. You call them reasons, I call them excuses. They're excuses for your life, not being the life you want. When are you going to let go of that? People aren't, they don't care about where you've been. They care about where you're going. So make a commitment to yourself. I'm going to be a national director by X date. I'm going to be exec. That's why we build goals. Make a commitment. Have it on your, right in front of you on your desk. Where are you going to be? Why? What dates? Be all in. And that's what you're conveying to other people. Convey that message and they will follow you anywhere because they want to be a part of success. So, again, strong posture. Give up the past. There's nothing you can do about yesterday, but today you can create a new tomorrow, right? So focus on what you can do. The invitation formula, he outlines 8 steps to a professional invitation. And, again, you can follow this if this is something that works for you. I like it. I don't always do all of these things on an invitation, but it's a great habit to get into, to learn, to teach people on how to do that. Number one is always be in a hurry. Why is that? It's about posture. We just talked about posture. People want to be around busy people, right? If you're busy, that means your business is growing. You're active. You got a lot of things going on. And examples of warm market prospecting would look like this. I don't have a lot of time to talk, but it was really important I reach you. I have a million things going on, but I'm glad I caught you. I'm running out the door, but I needed to talk to you really quickly. Right? That would be for people that you know. For cold prospects, you go, you know, now isn't the time to get into this, and I have to go, but can I touch base with you, let's say on Friday, I have a window of opportunity like between 2 and 4. You sound like a very busy person. People are going to be attracted to that. Set the tone around having a sense of urgency. Number 2, be yourself. Just focus again on being your best self. Number 3, bring some passion. We talked about that earlier. I'm reading the wrong one. Number 2 is compliment the prospect. Okay, so be in a hurry. Number 2 is compliment the prospect. Sincere compliment opens the door to real communication and greater openness to hear what you have to say. When you compliment somebody, what does it immediately do? It's disarming. It knocks the wall down in a person. It makes them feel good. They like talking to you. They like being around you. So the second thing, be in a hurry. Second is compliment the prospect. And, you know, GoPro has a lot of great information in it on complimenting. And you can look on page 50 in GoPro and seeing those things. You know, John, you've been very successful. I've always respected the way you've done business. Or you've always been supportive of me, and I appreciate that so much. Or you have an amazing mind for business and can see things other people don't see. Have some language down that you can speak and make sure it's honest and sincere. Don't make stuff up. Just have language down that's sincere, that you can talk about somebody. I love to do that when I meet people out in public, like when I love their personality. I said, you are like a dynamo. Have you ever looked at a business where you can use that skill and make $5,000 to $10,000 a month with it. I mean, really? And they look at you like, really? There's a business out there that uses that? And I said, absolutely. Here's my card. Call me. We need to get together. Or give me your contact information. I'll give you a call. We'll get together. Right? I mean, that's what you want to do. You want to build that in. Compliment the person and drive it that way. Number three in the invitation formula, make the invitation. There are three kinds of invitations. We have a direct approach. So you talk immediately about what the person said they wanted. You know what? I found a way for you to restore your kids' college funds or get the house of your dreams or have the financial freedom that you say is so important to you. That's a direct approach. I like to do that because I like to find out what's triggering in the person. And I also love to, every phone call I'm on, I'm always about what? Asking questions. Remember, those that are asking questions are staying in control. So you can use this approach for people that you know or that you've gotten to know a little bit better. Or people that are really searching for something better in their life. And again, there are examples in the GoPro book. The indirect approach is something where you're asking somebody for help or input or guidance. And the reason I use the direct approach mostly is because I feel a little awkward because I feel like I'm kind of orchestrating a conversation. But I do like when I travel, I love to tell people, my company's expanding in your area. Would you do me a favor and take a look at it and let me know if you think it would work where you live? Or my company's expanding in your area and I'm looking for some people. You may know some that are looking to make an extra, $2,000 to $3,000 on a monthly basis, part-time. You know, those kind of things. That's kind of an indirect approach, right? So, yeah, some people say, can I practice on you? That was so funny. My gal did the three-way call last week. She said the person committed just because it was going to be a training exercise. Well, little did she know that she was going to run into the brick wall called Mary Jo Hilliker on the other phone, right, and end up signing up. So it's just, you know, all those things can happen, but, you know, you can do indirect language if you think that is more comfortable for you. And then he's got a super indirect approach, which is really you tell the person they're not the prospect, but you're looking for people who want to make an additional $1,000 to $2,000. And those are where you're basically cutting them out of being the prospect. Who do you know that might be looking for a strong business they could run from their home? Who do you know that's hit a wall with their business and might be looking for a way to diversify their income, right? So those are the kind of questions, super indirect, because you're not even aiming it at them. You're aiming it at somebody they might know. And any of those things work. You just have to feel comfortable with what you're doing when you're out there approaching people, connecting, right? If I would you, that's his next thing. And this works for, and it's very important that you get this one down because you want to get people to be involved in a reciprocal relationship. If I gave you a CD, would you watch it? If I gave you a website, would you check it out? If I invited you a special invitation only conference call, would you listen in? So now most people don't ask that question. They just invite people. But why not ask and see, make it reciprocal? If you're doing it just asking people, hey, could you, I know, if I have a special, I'm inviting you a special call that's coming up this Thursday night. I'd like you to be on a special call. That's a different way of saying it than, if I invited you to a special invitation-only conference call, would you listen in? Great. Get the commitment up front. Very powerful. It puts you in a position of power. It implies that you have something to offer. Number five is confirmation. Number one, get the time commitment. When do you think you could review the materials? I always ask that. Always. Always. Because I don't leave it open-ended. Never in a conversation, in a contact and invite, am I leaving anything open-ended. It's always confirmed. Confirmation number two is the sixth one, confirm the time commitment. So if you're going to read them on Wednesday morning, if you're going to read them Tuesday night, you have some free time. If I call you Wednesday morning, you will have for sure seen it. Is that right? Again, confirmation. And that's where you then, number seven, schedule the next call. Book a time. Now they've said yes four times. Have a meeting, book a meeting. Have a call, book a call. Have a time, book a time, right? Always on. And then the final one, number eight, for Worry is he says, get off the phone. Remember your posture. You're a busy person. And you go, so great. We'll talk then. Got to run. Talk to you soon. That's how you do it. All right? Great little program for eight steps. When you're working with your new associates, I'm going to absolutely tell you to develop a script for them. do calls with them as they get started, because a lot of them don't know how to talk. They don't know what to say. So you could do coaching. You can do some coaching calls, you know, to help them out, or get on the phone with each and every one of their first 3 to 4 prospects and work with them on it. And it's really wonderful to do that because it helps them be more successful out of the box and builds their confidence. What's crucial with new people is building their confidence. So sometimes when I work with somebody, I'll sit down with them or do a 3-way call with them right out of the box. We'll start calling their list, and I'll go, when I get a hold of the person that they wanted me to call, I'll go, "Hey, John, this is Mary Jo Hilliker. You have no idea who I am, but I'm sitting here with a friend of yours, David Smith." And then David pipes in and says hi or whatever he wants to say. I said, "He's just started a new business opportunity and told me he'd love to have you take a look at it as well. When's a good time for all of us to get together?" Right? That would be an invite for a 2-on-1. And if they ask what it is, you just tell people, "You know what, it's really visual. Let's get together and sit down. It'll give you a better opportunity to get a flavor for what it's all about." Right? If you're inviting them to what? The other things you might say, "You know, David, it's really quite, well," we talked about that. If you wanted them to do a 3-way call with you, you're going to develop 3-way language. So you would tell them and give them scripting on 3-way language where they call the person up, "Hey, John, you know what? I just started this new business, and I'd really like you to take a look because when I looked at my list of friends, you were like top. You and I've always had so much respect." Remember the compliment? Compliment them and tell them how much respect you've had for them, and you would love to be in business with them. And say, "Listen, I'd like to send you some materials. When do you think you'd have a chance to look at them?" Again, teach and train them. If they ask about it, talk about it being very visual. Don't let them get into a phone conversation about what the business is. They're not going to do a good job at describing it. They just started. So take over that, and then they set up a time. They get a lock in a group of time, like 12 to 4, call you back, lock in a 3-way with you, your specific time as the person, the upline support person, and then they recontact the person and say, "Okay, 3 o'clock on Wednesday works, so let's do that." Talk to you then, and that's how you do it. But develop the script, work with them, because they're going to have a tough time jumping out of the box, and they'll stumble over their words. You want to make this business as duplicatable as possible. Always, always, when you're in stage 2, the second step, contact and invite, always have your calendar with you. Whether you're working it on your iPhone, you have it on your computer, your iPad, your iPhone, you're doing high tech, or you have a low tech, you're carrying around a physical calendar. Have it with you all the time, because when you lock in appointment, when you're in a position to lock in that appointment, you want to know exactly right then when your availability is. And remember, your posture, you look very busy, very busy. So you got to say, "Let me check on my calendar because I've got a lot going on this week." And you go through that calendar. You go, "I have a time slot like 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. Does that work for you?" Right? Very busy. You're a very busy person. Part of your posturing. But always have that calendar. And then understand the looking zone. My last point here is understanding what a looking zone is. And that looking zone, if you draw 2 lines from north to south on a piece of paper with about 3 inches between them, and then you take a line and you go crisscross through it like a snake, you know, go through it, back coming around, curve back around, come through it again, curve back around, come through it again. We call that diagram a looking zone. Why? The area between the 2 lines you initially drew is what we call the looking zone. Everything on the outside is where they're not looking. When you contact people, they could be in the looking zone or out of the looking zone. If somebody, John, you call and he just started a brand new job, he's probably not looking for alternative streams of income because he's so intentional about his new job. He's nervous. He wants to do the best he can do. The last thing he needs is to have another business opportunity on his platter. Right now, he's not interested. So he's what we call outside the looking zone. He's outside the 2 lines. He's not in the middle. But you know what? 6 months later, when John loses that job or he decides the job really isn't what it's all made out to be, he's going to be looking for something new. And that's when you can capture him. So know that you know that just because somebody says no doesn't mean they're never going to come in your business. I think Dr. Nugent was approached 12 times before he finally said yes. So that's what it took for him to get involved in the Manatech business way back in the early 1990s. So everybody has a different story, but you don't want to lose somebody just because you take their no as meaning never. I'll suggest no never means never, that it means not right now. In some instances, it means not enough information, but you find that out by continuing to pursue questions. So the idea here is your IQ is not nearly as important as your no quotient. Your IQ is not nearly as important as your no quotient. So understand what a no really means, understand the looking zone, and you'll be terrific. So there you go, people. Lots of great data, how to build your contact list, and then the tools of the trade, the skill patterning you want to develop around contacting and inviting. Crucial to get yourself out of the box and become the best you can be in network marketing. All right, any questions before we conclude? Anyone? Did anyone learn anything today, or was all of this information I shared something you knew all about? Anyone want to share something special that they learned today that really will change their business?
Mary Jo.
Yes.
Kathy Martz here.
Hey, Kathy.
Every Monday I send out a notice to all of my people, and every Monday I'm on your call. And I just want to tell you that I love you, I appreciate you, and we desperately need the constant reminders over and over again, no matter how long we've been doing this. Little tips, clues, that just kind of, even though you know,
yep,
it's just the reassurance, it's the reconfirming, okay, I got to keep doing this. Because there are so many negatives out there, but
yep,
that when we reach it, you know, I have 37 people on my team doing this Flush the Fat for Life.
Whoa, congratulations, Kathy. That's awesome. Awesome.
What's working is the buddy system.
Uh-huh, always.
And basically what you're talking about doing this business, you know, I'd
mm-hmm.
love you to have to come and be a part of this. Be my buddy.
Right.
You know, with this. Because it works when you're together with them. I just want to thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you for being so dedicated. You're doing an awesome job out there. And I hear about the greatness of what you're creating with the Fat Flush, because we're also doing that. We're doing it in Dallas. We're doing it in Lubbock. We're doing it up in Minneapolis. We got, you know, pods all over the country doing Fat Flush, and it is an awesome program. Absolutely. Yeah.
Can't wait for Manifest.
I know. We're all going to be skinny ninnies, right?
At the gala in our ball gowns, I'm just thinking, oh, you girls, dream on. Go shop for your dress.
Right, exactly. Buy that size 4. Yeah.
One of my spouses has been married 6 years, had 2 babies, and she's back in her wedding dress. Lost 3 pounds.
Oh, cool, Kathy. Thanks for sharing. That's neat.
All right.
Great.
Mary Jo, this is Chris Knight.
Hey, hi, Chris. How are you?
Well, I'm great. And I just wanted to know, Kathy, it's just so awesome every single Monday hearing all this stuff. We need it. We appreciate it. I do. And once again, I just got some super great tips. So thank you again very much.
You betcha. You bet. Thank you.
Hey, Mary Jo.
Yeah.
My name is Jane. I'm in Kathy Martz's business, and I've never never said a thing on these calls, but I've listened for months and months now, and I have probably listened to Eric Worre's book while I walked, like, probably 20 times.
It's very good,
it's
isn't it?
Good, it's a reminder, but what I realize I'm not doing is practicing it, and I've gotten several people into Flush the Fat for Life as well, but I've had, you know, so many people who have said, it's network marketing. What can we do about that? And the reminder that everybody, we all do it because we spend money, and when we spend money, we're lining somebody's pocket. That's what their favorite thing is to say. I'm lining somebody's pocket. And I said, well, who do you think you're lining pockets of when you buy something at the store?
You're right. Good
and
comment.
Thinking, you know, and that would hit me just get last week, because I have a friend who, her husband's very against this, and she was going to sign up because she wanted to get the Oceline, and she wanted to get the GI sign for the Flush the Fat thing. And I have a feeling her husband talked her out of it, so I've got to call her today. So I'm going to do this with him and say, okay, let me give you something.
Yeah,
so,
great.
I mean, I've known them for years, and their kids, I've known them for years. And she actually is starting to notice that her pants are getting looser, and she's only been doing this for a week.
I know. That's what. So that's one of the reasons I love Fat Flush so much, is because I've never seen a part of a diet program have such a major impact on people so quickly.
Yeah.
And that's really what makes it such a winner for all of us, because, you know, people can't believe it. They just say, I've tried 20 diet plans, and it took me last time 4 months to lose 6 pounds, and I lost 6 pounds in a week and a half or 2 weeks, right? Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, so this reminder is awesome, and I thank you.
You bet. You bet. Keep up the great work. Thanks for being loyal. Thanks. Okay. Thanks, everybody. Have a great one. Now, next week, what do you think we're covering next week? The other two core skills, okay? So we're going to talk about presentation, and we're going to talk about follow-up and close. So hopefully after that, you know, take these tools and use them and train them with your people, because they need to understand it's more than just shooting from the hip. These are critical skill sets that you want to develop and you want your people to develop. Okay, everybody, have a great day, great week, and we'll talk to you next Monday. Bye, everyone.